Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're trying to locate our guest, and we have not been able to reach her at the moment, so she may be calling in. We're going to be talking about the Big Book of Soul, which is about African heritage, which is absolutely wonderful. So we are going to proceed anyway, and if you want to call in early, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call in to. Today's world, we have so much in the way of argumentation that's going on. You turn on the news, the right's fighting with the left side fighting, and the up's fighting with the down fighting, and I mean, let's face it, all you hear is all of this argumentation, and it gets to be a very frustrating thing. Well, I came across a story that I thought was really a very good one, and it brings across a point, an issue of how cooperation gets a lot more done than when it isn't used. Now, this is about an old legend. It talks about a convoy of quail that lived in a particular forest. However, as good as their lives were, they had an arch enemy. And who was that? It was the great quail catcher. Now, what he would do, he'd imitate the quail call, and then when all the quail gathered together, he'd throw a net over them, stuff them into his hunting basket, and carry them off to market. Well, there was one quail that had managed to survive a number of these hunts and said to his fellow quail, "Brothers, I have a plan. When the fowler puts his net over us, we each should put our head into a section of the net and begin to flap our wings. We can lift the net together and fly away with it." Well, the other quail were very excited. All of them agreed they were going to do this. So the very next day, they did just that. And they made a very successful escape. Well, this went on for a number of days. And the bird hunter was asked by his wife, "Where are the quail we're going to take to market?" He replied, "Well, I've got a major problem. These quail have been working together, and they've been helping each other escape along with my net. I have to go hunting for the silly thing." Well, this went on for a nice bit of time. None of the quail ended up going to market. Until one of the quail began to fight with another quail. And this is what was going on. The one quail said, "I lifted all the weight on the net. You didn't help at all." Of course, the other quail, being accused of this, became angry. And before long, the entire group of quail was quarreling. Well, the bird hunter was watching. He imitated the cry of the quail and then cast his net over them because they were so busy fighting. He could conquer them all. So preoccupied with their argumentation, they were not able to help one another. And all of those quail ended up going to market. The reason I wanted to choose this story is because when you can work together in cooperation, whatever you're involved with, when there is a focus and a common denominator, and you get rid of the pettiness, and you find something that's really working, you need to be able to hold true to that patterning. It's fascinating to me how within the human nature, things will be quibbled over many times. It would be just as well if you just stepped away from it. Look at what's really going on. If you're finding yourself feeling very argumentative, back up and ask yourself, what is it that's pushing your buttons? Many times, we will have situations that are going on externally. Maybe we've got something with the kids, or we've got a problem on the job. Maybe we're not feeling very good. Maybe we've got financial problems. I mean, it can be a gazillion different things. But we're always the ones that have the opportunity to focus our minds, our attitudes, and our feelings, and to really be mindfully present with what's going on before we react. And if we can understand what's pushing our buttons, maybe we walk around the block or excuse ourselves and go stand in a closet for a while talking out loud to ourselves, whatever it is that we need to do to get back into the present of control and understanding that we have to stay focused on what needs to be done, then the petty stuff just will go away. It doesn't have a chance to undermine us. And it's so easy to get undermined. It really is. And you know, one of the biggest factors for undermining you is a lack of rest. If you're really tired and you're really exhausted, it doesn't take much. Someone doesn't even have to look cross-eyed at you and you're ready to take their head off. So it's very important we be aware. What is it that we want to stay focused on so we don't have somebody throw a net over us and have control over what we feel we should have as our destiny? Well, my guest has not yet called in, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me, we're going to make it an open mic hour. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you are going to find that you'll be able to ask a question, too. And I'll be happy to do that for you. So again, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Okay, if you are thinking of making a big investment, maybe you're really wanting to buy an appliance, well, how about evaluating what you've got? We're in times when people economically are really trying to figure out how they can make what they have serve them better. Well, I have some statistics in front of me regarding refrigerators, oven stoves, dishwashers, a microwave, and a clothes washer, which is, for just about all of us, something that we just can't imagine not having around. Clothes washer. I can tell you, I had a Maytag that lasted, for so many years. It was absolutely wonderful. No repairs. Finally, one day, it occurred, and I discovered that as well built as this machine had been, that it lasted so many years, the average life of a washing machine is 8 to 12 years. You know, we really think that things are going to last a lot longer. So what you want to do, apparently, if you really have a good machine and you really like it, oh, by the way, they have a lot of plastic parts in them anymore, and they break down very much more quickly. I know, because I had to have my machine repaired. So if you really want to take good care of your clothes washer, you don't want to use any more than 4 tablespoons of soap, which is 1/4 cup, per load. Why? That excess soap, it sticks to gaskets and moving parts and causes them to deteriorate and leak. If you take care of your machine, it'll extend its life for about 3 to 5 years. So you might be one of those lucky ones that'll have a machine that'll last you almost 20 years. And if you think about it, if you do as much laundry as I know we do in the SIBO household, that machine is going sometimes almost every single day. So if you've got a family and you are doing loads of laundry, check, you know, with Consumer Reports, find out what the best brands are, and then go out and find out what's going to really serve your needs. It's a big investment. It really is. So don't overload. That's so easy to do. And overloading a machine is the number one cause of damage to washing machines, so stick to not stuffing it full of stuff. And if you have kids that want to do laundry at your house, make sure you educate them on that. And make sure your washing machine is level. Yeah, an uneven surface can shake and break itself during the spin cycle, or if you have the type of items in your machine that will cause it to become unbalanced, even though they say it automatically balances, believe me. And with today's stuff, it doesn't always work. So you have to be aware of a number of things, but you want your machine to really last. But again, a lot of parts in machines are made of plastic, and so they consequently may not be able to last as long as previously. Dishwashers. I love my dishwasher. I use it every single day. They say use powder soap, don't use the gel. Now, why is that the case? Well, the powders apparently dissolve in water while the gels create a buildup, and it can eat away at the inside of your dishwasher. And you will find your dishwasher, which normally lasts anywhere from 7 to 12 years, it'll extend it an additional 3 years. So these little things can make a difference, and you don't need to pre-rinse. Believe it or not, leaving small food particles on your dishes rather than rinsing it first will give you a better wash. Why is that? Well, apparently the enzymes in food particles that'll be on your plates or pans interact with the chemicals in the soap, and it boosts the scrubbing effect. Who knew? So you're less likely going to have to rewash your items if you remember, scrape the plates, but just put them in. Because in the modern day washers, you don't need to wash and rinse first. You don't need to do that. Microwaves. These are interesting machines. They can go on forever and ever. Or you can get a clunker that'll suddenly die on you, but generally, the average lifespan is 5 to 10 years. And you've got to keep it clean. You need to wipe down your microwave so that spills won't build up. Now, what happens if you have things that are spilled in there? Well, let's say one of your kids, or your hubby, or whatever, your significant other, goes and spills something all over the inside and leaves it there. And someone goes to use it. Apparently, when you do not keep the inside of your microwave clean, it creates extra heat that can actually damage the unit. Now, if you take care of your microwave, it'll last you an additional 3 years, and you've got to be careful if your microwave is above your stovetop. You need to flip on your ventilation fan whenever you use your burners. And any more in the research, they're advising not to put it above a stove. You know, you can put it under a cabinet or if you have counter space, but they have all kinds of models now that you can choose from. And I'll never forget when we went shopping for a microwave, a salesperson came up to us, and of course they have all kinds of price ranges on these appliances, and they said, well, what is it you're going to use it for? And we thought cooking. And the salesperson said, at the time, you know, there was a $500, $600 model. And then there was another one, and this person said, I have sold so many of these real expensive machines to people, and all they're using the microwave for is maybe to bake a potato or to, you know, heat coffee or tea or just reheat items. People are not cooking in them because they don't like to cook in the microwave necessarily. And I thought, I really was excited about it because I thought this was going to cut down cooking time. Well, I found that the cooking with a microwave is really a skill and an art that I've never mastered. So reheating things I like to do, but I don't use it particularly for cooking unless it's frozen vegetables, something like that that's real easy. Doesn't take very much time. Well, he was right. So think about how you use your microwave, and you're going to be able to find wonderful bargains, and they will last for a long time. But remember, have it not above your stove, and I know they've got them. Just check on the safety factors regarding that, and don't forget, use your ventilation fan if you're going to be having your stove and your microwave operating perhaps at the same time. You've got to be very alert to those things. And an oven stove, you know what? There was a stove that I bought. I didn't buy it. I used it in an apartment, which was an old gas stove. This is when I was living in California. The stove already was like 15 years old. It's probably still in the apartment. Stoves of long ago usually were made of extremely durable materials. Well, in today's world, an electric stove lasts for an average of 15 years, and a 17-year cycle exists for gas stoves. And if you take care of them, they'll often last longer than that. You need to protect your control panel, because most stoves made in the last 15 years, and this is amazing, in the last 15 years, break down too soon due to the control panel. Now, why is that? The reason is the control panel is behind the back burners, which causes the panel to overheat. So, to eliminate this problem, and who knew? I didn't know. You want to heat large pots on the front burners only. I'm always cooking on the back burners because that's where my biggest burners are when I've got big pots. And if you have radiant or halogen burners on your stove, always place a pot on the burner before you turn it on. If you have a cold pot coming in contact with a hot burner, it can crack the stove top, and that is going to be expensive to repair. And, of course, leaving food or grease inside of an oven, oh, my goodness, it also affects the heat level. But it also adds a lot of extra stress on your mechanical and electronic components. So you can extend your stove's life an additional 3 to 5 years. And refrigerators, oh my goodness. You know, when I think of what my grandmother had to deal with years ago, I just go, we are so fortunate with all of these appliances. But your refrigerator, you need to be sure that you don't stuff it so much that it has to work extra, extra hard. And also, wipe down the rubber gasket around the door frame of your fridge and freezer once a month with soap and water, because when it's open, dirty hands may touch a rubber gasket, which can cause it to peel away from the frame. And, of course, that lets cold air leak out. But I'll tell you, those are easy enough to repair, too. So you just have to pay attention to that, because they do. The rubber deteriorates depending on the age of your refrigerator freezer. But I've got a small refrigerator freezer that has been running for a lot of years, and I'm just amazed. It's sitting out in the garage. We use it as a backup, especially when we have parties. And it's not a huge one. It's a little one that I bought years ago. So those are just some tips for you to keep your appliances in shape and to get the greatest amount of value out of them. Now, I did have a guest scheduled today, and she apparently was not able to make the interview, so telephone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I have got a wonderful, wonderful recipe for waffles. Easter is coming up, and I don't know about you, but if you've got a big family to do, now maybe you're going out as a family and or with friends, and you are just saying, oh, I'm not going to have to worry about cooking. It's Easter. We're going out to eat. That's wonderful. But I was talking with someone earlier today, and they were saying, oh, my goodness, I've been so busy. I didn't even think about Easter dinner. Unfortunately, my daughter called me, and we're going to go over there for Easter dinner, but I realized, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do for breakfast? So we were talking about that, and she said she decided she was going to have something like a brunch. Well, there's a woman by the name of Barbara McCurry. She's in California, and she is known as the Waffle Lady. So get your pad of paper and your pen and have it handy, because she has got a great recipe for waffles. They're foolproof, and you'll find that they are going to really be just perfect if you wanted to have something special for your family. It's great if you have a couple waffle irons set up at a buffet table, if that's how you're going to serve. It's just a lot of fun. But have a couple of them if you're going. Maybe you can get the rest of the family if you're going to have a big to-do. Have them bring over their waffle makers so you can have maybe two or three of them going, because it takes a while. It takes anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes for a waffle to cook in a waffle iron. But regardless, we are going to be sharing that with you in just a moment, and also her very special story, which I think is delightful. I do want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about interview tactics, how to survive media without getting clobbered. Have you ever had to do an interview where someone decided to treat you as if you were a piece of raw liver and they were going to chop you up into little pieces? Well, we are going to be talking with Gail Murphy. She is a very skilled person relative to this, and I can tell you, having been in media over the years, that has been an effect. I do have to apologize to those of you that have been expecting to find a listing of guests. We have been having problems with our cable connections out here in the Pacific Northwest because of storms, and so I've not been able to upload the information about my guests. So let me tell you who I'm going to have on next week. We're going to be having on a Dr. Kennedy. We're going to be talking about the 15-minute heart cure. This is a very compassionate physician, and he's giving us some real good insights in how to maintain wellness and what you can do in 15 minutes that can make a change in your heart's condition. The Phoenix Lights, we're going to be talking with Dr. Lynn Katai. She is an absolutely amazing woman. She actually was able to record and document unidentified flying objects in Arizona. And she is a woman who is fascinating to listen to. So we're going to be talking about that. And then Fan Letters to a Stripper, Bob Brill, is going to be my guest. When I first found out about this book, I had to chuckle. I thought, Fan Letters to a Stripper. Well, I got the copy of the book. It's wonderful. We're going to be tripping back to about the 1940s. We're going to find out about a lady called Patty Wagon, and it is a beautiful, beautiful book. And Bob Brill is a broadcaster himself, and there's a very special story behind this book. What a Body Knows, Kimmerer Lamothe is going to be my guest. This is something about how to keep yourself fit and also to be aware of how your body can tell you what you need to do. And then Drunk with Wonder, Steve Riles. This is such a positive positioning about life and how much joy we can accept in our own. So we've got a great lineup this next week, and as soon as I can, I'm going to have all the listings of my guests so that you can just go in and at your convenience look them all up. I'm sure many of you are enjoying this Easter holiday spring break. I mean, there are just out in our neck of the woods, school's out, and kids are out bicycling, and even though we've had storms that have come in, people are just enjoying their gardens and just having an absolutely fabulous time. Okay, I told you we were going to talk about waffles, and that's what we're going to do. Now, Barbara, she is quite a gal. She has an all-you-can-eat breakfast. She is a waitress at a location, and on her sign it says, Barb's Best Waffles Ever and Open. Now, where does she have this place? It's right in her own kitchen. Now, can you believe it? Could you imagine opening up your home to anybody and everybody that wanted waffles? Well, she does this every Saturday morning. She said it started when her husband, Gil, and her were raising their four children. And they loved Saturday mornings, and she said it was the only morning in the entire week when they weren't rushing somewhere. Weekday mornings were always busy because the kids were in school. She had to make up fast breakfast. Sundays, church. They had to be up early and out of the house. But Saturday mornings, wow, they liked those mornings for their long, leisurely breakfast. Her kids had an attitude about those Saturday mornings. They wanted waffles. They didn't want anything else for breakfast for waffles. So, she said, it would take extra time for me to whip up my special recipe, but wow, my family just loved it. And that was our time as a family where we really spent a lot of time together. We talked stories. She said the kids were just having a great time, and there was no sense of urgency. What a great thing to do with a family. However, as it always is the case, children grow up, they move out. And she said then when she was in her 50s, her husband passed away from cancer. And she said it just was so empty after all those wonderful years with family. She said she knew she had to get out, so she joined every club in town, golf teams, church choir. She said anything to get around people. And she really would chat with anybody, everybody she could. And she never stopped making waffles. And she said sometimes her family members would join her, and sometimes she'd whip up a batch just for herself. But she said, I don't know. It just didn't feel the same. Then one Saturday, she got this concept. Maybe I should invite some of the people I'd like to make friends over for waffles. I wonder how that would work out. So what she did was started extending She started extending invitations to people to come over to her place on Saturday morning, and she said, it was amazing. The word of mouth got out. You can have as many waffles as you want at Barbara's on Saturday. So she said, we started what is today a Saturday morning neighborhood tradition. And she is remarried. She's got a wonderful husband, Ernie. He loves it. She said, it started 6 years ago. I moved to a new part of town. And she said, it's followed me here, too. And she said, I never know how many people to expect. She says, my record number is 27. But she loves surprises. Everybody brings their favorite mugs, and they have as much coffee and juice as they want. And people just make themselves at home. Now, I had to chuckle when she said she had worn out 3 waffle irons. And do you know the average amount of waffles that are eaten by an individual? Well, at her house, 2. Can you imagine that? 2 full waffles. She said the record is 7, and those were eaten by her grandson, who is a top-notch athlete. She said he usually follows breakfast with surfing. She said with all the waffles he eats, she wonders why he doesn't sink in the ocean. She said she loves her guests. Her guests have not only become good friends, they are a part of her extended family now. And she said what they have told her is that when they come together, if they bring their kids or family members, they are communicating and talking to each other. So everybody washes their own dishes. She's got this figured out. Everybody washes their own dishes, and they sit down and they visit. They share whatever's going on in their life. And she said, it is a joy. Now, let me tell you this lady's age. She's 94 years old. And she is serving waffles every Saturday. Wow. Got a long way to go before I get to 94, but what an idea. Isn't it marvelous? Okay, here's her recipe. This is Barb's best waffles. And she said, favorite syrup, whatever you want, butter on it, but you need 4 cups of Bisquick, 4 cups of Bisquick, 1 cup of millet flour, 1 cup of millet flour, a pinch of baking soda, 1/4 cup of oil, 3 eggs, 3 cups of buttermilk, and you better have a little extra because sometimes the batter gets a little thick, and then 1/4 cup of water. Now, she said you want to mix these ingredients together and beat them well to eliminate all the lumps, and then you pour your batter into your waffle iron, and you cook the waffles until they're golden brown. And this one recipe makes 10 round waffles. And she said you can refrigerate the rest of the batter and use it as you will. What a wonderful tradition this woman has experienced, but is still carrying on at 94 years of age. Wouldn't that be fun to do if you were the kind of person that was willing to do exactly that and open up your kitchen and have fellowship with people? What a wonderful idea. And she has just got friends galore, and she's enabling a lot of people to communicate where otherwise they may not have the opportunity. In our world where technology, email, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all these other things that are coming along for social networking, I'll tell you what, there is nothing, nothing that can beat face-to-face, one-on-one interaction with others. You'll have the warmth, you'll have the stories, you'll have everything that you need. And what a wonderful way, in fellowship with food, to be able to just talk with people, find out what's going on, and share stories, because that's really what life is all about. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. We weren't able to reach my guest, and the telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. This is Donna. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I do want to remind you, for those of you who are listening up in Alaska, I'm going to be up there the 12th of April through the 18th. And if you're interested in scheduling some time to meet with me while I'm on the road there, call me at my office, 800-872-8852. Now, the Donna Sebo Show will be traveling wherever I go, so you will be hearing me from that wonderful place in the far north during the early part of April. Also, I want to ask those of you that have had paranormal experiences, if you would send your story to me. I'm putting together a book where there are going to be 100 stories featured. I'd love to have yours. And the reason I want to put together these stories is because I think it's important for us to share our experiences. And the more we can share, the better it is going to be for others who are experiencing things for the first time, helping them to understand they're not alone and that the paranormal really is just very normal. It's our awareness of what we're experiencing and how we can utilize it that can make the difference. Today being April the 1st, April Fool's Day, I find that there's a little bit of history regarding April Fool's. You know, this has been a holiday for celebration since the Middle Ages, and they say that April, according to a researcher, E. Cobham Brewer, was that April was a month of fickle, what they called erratic or fooling weather. And it said in his research that the Jewish people started the custom during the Passion time by supposedly sending them on fool's errands to various magistrates. However, there was an English 18th century journalist who related the custom to Noah's error of sending a dove out of the ark before the water had abated on a date that corresponded to our April the 1st. Now, there's another guy who did research, William Walsh, who said, these are all ridiculous. And he said, this is really what happened. Up until 1564, March 25th marked the European New Year, and the festivities associated with its arrival usually lasted about 8 days until April the 1st. So the calendar changed that year, and the new year became January 1, but not everybody got the message. So those who continued to make the New Year visits and to offer the traditional presents on April 1st would have been called, you got it, April Fools. So, eventually, these courtesies and the tradition of gifts were replaced by what were described as pretended gifts and mock ceremonial visits. So, this is why they feel that the April Fool patterning became associated with the beginning of April. But the concept of a day devoted to foolishness is a lot older than that 16th century. Apparently, the Roman had their Saturnalia and the medieval Feast of Fools that provided opportunities for doing whatever you wanted to do. You didn't have to do anything conventional. And it also overturned some of the social order itself. Now, slaves in Roman times were freed at the Saturnalia. And boy bishops, mock kings, and lords of misrule were elected during the Middle Ages. There was a Feast of Fools, and it placed it within a social context that allowed for flexibility and the capacity for having fun and laughing at the self. He said, the divine right of kings, papal infallibility, and the modern totalitarian state all flowered after the Feast of Fools disappeared. So I just thought I'd give you a little bit of history there on April Fool's Day. This is Donna. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. What would you do if you were someplace where doors flew open and this presence would go up and down corridors and you could feel it, but you couldn't see it? Well, on April Fool's Day in 1696, there was a monastery in North Hungary, and that's exactly what happened. Doors were flying open up and down this corridor in the monastery. The monks, who were holding lanterns, were looking out of their rooms. Someone had knocked on every single one of their doors at the same time. They were pounded the next night so hard that the door shook. Well, the monks, you can imagine, they were a little unsettled. They were singing their prayers and their hymns in the chapel till dawn. When they went back to their chambers after their prayers, they found they had been ransacked. Doors had been flung open, all their items scattered, spilled ink bottles. There were crackling and clicking noises throughout the monastery. Holy water didn't make any difference. They sprinkled it all over the place, and it wasn't stopping anything. Well, there was a town mayor who decided he was going to spend the night in the building and was discovered the next day in his night clothes, and he was shuddering like crazy, going down the street, and he had his slippers in his hand. The following night, there was a Father Franciscus Hanakius who set up a small table with a burning candle. He had salt, oil, wine, and bread. I'm going to finish his story. I know he's got a caller. And a book of biblical stories. After the caller, I'll tell you what happened to him. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Welcome, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Elizabeth?
And
I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the show. I'm watching you with interest because I'm seeing you upset. I am looking at you agitated over an individual who just seems to put you into circles, if I could describe it that way. And I would say to you, all you need to know is if you keep your cool, you're not going to find yourself going in those circles. You've got to break through typical patternings, and I think they're patternings of fearfulness. And you need to break through them and take a deep breath, maybe ask for a glass of water, take a break and say, what is it that's bugging me with this person? Why is it that I am having these feelings that just surge up inside of me and I'm getting apprehensive? Because this person is reading these feelings. And it's on a subconscious level, and apparently they're using the right kinds of words with you that just keep unsettling you. So there needs to be a detachment here. So with this interaction with this individual, you have better clarity. And once you're able to do the detachment and you're not emotionally responding, then you're going to find that the conversation with this person is going to be much more harmonious. So it's very important that you be mindfully present with yourself. And if you begin to notice this agitation within you, then shift. Make a shift. And take control of yourself. And, of course, this is all within you, so that you get rid of that sense of apprehension, because it's being read by this other person. And it's being interpreted in a way that's not benefiting you. So you're the one that's going to have to take control of your space. What's your question for me?
Oh, my goodness. Do you think that's a son connection, a mother-son?
No, this is a female I'm seeing you talking to.
Oh. Oh, now
this
I
is
know.
A female. This is not a male. This is
it's
a female.
It's a work situation?
Yes, I believe so. And this is, I want to say the word contract is coming to me, that what I'm looking at is you might be trying to sell something to this woman. Let me use it from that perspective. You might be trying to sell something to her or trying to convey some information. And she has a demeanor. She is a very, I would say, strong, almost domineering kind of a person. So if she's with someone that has feelings of inadequacy, lacks confidence, you may not think you're displaying it, but by God, she's reading it. So you need to be very aware. It's all subliminal. This is all undercurrent. And if you're noticing your feelings and your responses to her that are agitated, you need to say, excuse me for just a minute, I need to go to the ladies' room, or I want to get a glass of water. May I have a glass of water? And then just take a deep breath and say, wait a minute, let me center myself, because this is silly. Because I think what's happening is that you're experiencing patterns from the past. It's all like what you feel when you go on a first interview and it's the first one you've ever done. You're scared to death, and you go, oh, my goodness, will I fail? Will I go through this? All of this is subconscious, and it undermines you. And that's what I'm seeing in your interaction with her.
Okay.
So it can make a difference. How you sit, how your voice projects, how you look at the person. These are all little subtle things. And this is, again, this is not a weak lily that you're in front of.
Well, no, it sounds like she's very good at what she does.
Mm-hmm. So you need to have the awareness and the confidence that what you're doing with her is worth her time and your time when you interact with her. That's all you need is that shift, just that slight shift, and you'll have it made.
So just be conscious, because normally I go into situations feeling confident,
mm-hmm.
when, especially if it's an area of my expertise. So, you know,
So anyhow, I just would say that is what I'm looking at. Who she is, I don't know, but it definitely is work-related.
And it's a contract that's involved.
Yes, there's a contract involved here. And, again, it's just that very subtle feeling, but you're getting this feeling inside of you. And it's unsettling. And you just need to get it under control. That's all.
Okay, well, thank you. Forewarned is forearmed.
Oh, I think so. Did you have a question for me?
No, you pretty much answered.
Good. Good.
Any question I would have. Thank you.
You are very welcome, and a happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter. Happy ham eating.
Well, I'm not a big ham person. I love pork, but ham is not my big thing. But I'll take those eggs. Man, I love eggs. But you know what I love about Easter? I especially love to have sweet things, like the waffles that I talked to you about, or crepes. You know, when they have the, I love to go to places where you're served all this stuff that you're not having to fix.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in so many of these restaurants, when you have a holiday like Easter, they pull all the stops out and they just will serve you all this sumptuous stuff that if you had to fix it at home, you'd have had leftover for 2 weeks. So you don't want that.
I know. And I don't like ham. I mean, I do like it, but I don't, it's not my first choice and I don't eat it for years. And this year I'm going to go ahead and cave in and do the pineapple and cherry and cloves and the ham for what, I don't know, tradition, I guess. And I'm looking forward to it with the deviled eggs
Oh, that's great.
It sounds like we'll both have a nice Easter, though.
Well, I'll tell you what, with the ham, check on the web and see if you can find the brown sugar basting or if you have real maple syrup. And you can baste with real maple syrup over those cloves when you score your meat. And after, you know, because a lot of the hams you get today really are pre-cooked. So you're wanting that wonderful, yummy, crusty flavor. So you can make a brown sugar coating with cinnamon or some other flavor that will go right along with the cloves that you put in.
Okay.
And it's just going to be wonderful. But I also like straight maple syrup. I just think there's nothing like the pure maple syrup. It has a flavor that is magnificent. When I fix pecan pies, I don't use corn syrup. I always use maple syrup. And, oh, it's so good.
Well, I'm going to try it this time. I love maple syrup, too. I'll try it with the maple syrup, and I'll let you know. My mouth is watering.
Oh, please do.
Now.
Oh, yeah. It's great. This is Donna. I'm going to have to say goodbye to you, Elizabeth. We've got to go on break. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna. You know, Easter is coming up. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. I just find that it's so much fun. When you find out about some of these whimsical studies, you often wonder where the funding comes from for these things. But they're fun. But people come up with all kinds of areas of curiosity. So Easter's just around the corner. Easter baskets and yummy goodies have always been very popular. But what is your favorite Easter candy? If something that you just think is absolutely yummy, what significance does it have in your life? And I know this is absolutely silly, but I think it's fun. Now, Peeps, You know, for years I didn't know what those silly things were. I didn't realize they were these little marshmallow chicks. You can also get the little marshmallow pink bunnies. Well, not only that, but jelly beans have been positive. You know, this is as far back as I can remember. Any excuse for good jelly beans are just, it's a wonderful thing to have. Malted chocolate eggs, hollow chocolate bunnies, solid chocolate bunnies, Peeps, cream-filled eggs. All right, do any of those sort of tickle your taste buds? You go, yes, I really like those. Well, this is what researchers, according to Alan Hirsch, it's a neurologist, I guess he must have really been bored because he decided that he wanted to find out about what your favorite Easter candy said about you. Well, if you like those little marshmallow chicks and those little pink bunnies, apparently you have an effervescent personality. You're creative. Who knew? Well, apparently, according to research, it shows that the shape of these little yellow chickies makes a significant point. People who like these little peeps don't eat other confections made with marshmallow. In other words, this is the cute little chickie that you are just in love with. You have a huge sense of whimsy, and you're a lot of fun to be around. Gee, didn't you wait all day to hear this? Cream-filled eggs. Oh, boy. Aren't these good? The Cadbury ones. You know, oh, they're so good. And there's some others that are cream-filled, but they're just yummy. I like dark chocolate. Now, they're pretty good size, many of them. And, of course, this is eggs are directly related to the thoughts of spring, fertility, and hope. And inside the cream-filled eggs, it is inspiring feelings of security and contentment. So what does this mean if you like those cream-filled eggs? Well, you're sincere, understanding, and good-natured, and you have a serenity that allows you to savor the present while trusting that the good things lay ahead. Okay, let's get down to the real good stuff. Jelly beans! Could you imagine that you were a perfectionist if jelly beans are one of your favorite candies? People who prefer jelly beans like to be in control. Choosing which jelly bean flavor you'll eat out of a handful satisfies your need for order. But doesn't mean you don't like variety. It simply means that you are a natural-born leader and you relish exercising your own judgment. Okay, folks, if you see a picky jelly bean eater, you know more about them now. Solid chocolate bunnies. Okay, this is one I really like. Long-term planner. Apparently, this person loves chocolate, solid chocolate bunnies. The reason I like chocolate, solid chocolate bunnies is you get more chocolate with them. Well, apparently, you don't like surprises, which is just fine because you like to plan ahead. You like its uniform texture because it speaks to you about consistency. You're loyal to loved ones and fiercely principled. You're the rock-solid center of your family, just as the solid chocolate bunny is the center of an Easter basket. Yum. Malted chocolate eggs. Woohoo! Yes, those speckled little pastel-covered malted eggs, they are indicating curious intellect. The crunch of a malted egg appeals to people who seek stimulation in all aspects of their lives. Smart and curious, you're always looking for a challenge and are unafraid to chart your own path to happiness. Indeed, you believe life like candy is meant to be experienced with all of your senses. Okay, we talked about the solid chocolate bunnies. What if you get the hollow ones? I'd say make sure you find out who's buying this for you, that you get the solid one, because you get more chocolate. But if you get a hollow one, if you choose hollow chocolate bunnies, you're a thrill seeker. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because you're just the opposite of the long-term planner, the solid chocolate bunny types. Aha. Uh-huh. You like novelty and adventure so much, you tend to be a bit impatient. You think, if you get a solid chocolate bunny, it's too much of a time investment for eating. After all, your next adventure is waiting. So the one that's hollow doesn't take you as long to scarf down. Aha! Thrill seeker, long-term planners, curious intellects, patience and serenity, effervescence, creative, and perfectionism. Who knew all of that was associated with Easter Bunny? Now you know. Should have made your whole day. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. It's been a delight being with you. Have a wonderful day. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And go on, check out those chocolate Easter bunnies. Get the solid one. Anyway, have a wonderful day. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.